Shall we turn in our Bibles, please, to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 32. Reading together, please, from verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew. As the small rain upon the tender herb. And as the showers upon the grass. Look, please, at the book of Judges again. Chapter 6, verse 34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers through all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so. For he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Book of Daniel, please. Great book of Daniel, chapter 4. And just for the sake of time, verse 14. He cried aloud and said, Thus hew down the tree, and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. Verse 25, And that they shall drive thee from men, thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. And seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Look at the last verse, please. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. We trust the Lord will add his blessing to this selected reading of his holy word. I want to bring a very simple meditation to your hearts tonight, looking at three very simple points. Today already, there has been a ministry given concerning the Spirit of God. We have looked at the fruit of the Spirit. And in our Bible, there are many symbols that serve to illustrate and elucidate both the character and the function of the Spirit of God in the Word of God. I'm using the figure of the Jew as indicated by these lovely words we have read together. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, I want you to listen to Moses, and there I want you to learn the doctrine of the Jew. The doctrine of the Jew. And then we want to come to Judges 6 and pick up from this great chapter in the life of Gideon his desire for the Jew. Not prepared to go into the responsible service of God without having the evidence, the assurance that the Jew of heaven is resting upon him in all its fullness and freshness, his desire for the Jew. And then I want you to come to Daniel, that solemn fourth chapter, and see, beloved, the dealing of the Jew. What it can really do, and what it did in the heart of this bitter and very, very desperate man. How it changed him, and how it brought him to confess things he had now learned. Now that's a very simple outline. I trust it will be a blessing to us. Whenever Moses gives his word, like all the prophets of God, he makes it clear that his doctrine is ideally suited to all stages and ages of growth. I think that is very important, beloved, and it is related to my subject today in a very practical way. You know, in our New Testament, there are the fathers. That's a stage of growth. There are the young men. And there are the children. Here are stages of growth that are acknowledged in the Word of God. And the doctrine of the Jew falls graciously, suitably, ideally upon all. I think that's characteristic of our conference meeting. We have the more mature. We have the very young. And we have those, shall we say, in between. I told you, and you can establish this when you have opportunity. For example, when Joel was given his message, he brought all the generation together. The fathers, the children, and their children's children. God said it. And these are days when the ministry is being distinguished. And people are being divided. And tendencies throughout the world of assembly testimony are serious. We have never subscribed to sectionalizing the people of God. And I want to raise a point with you today that Moses didn't get the old of the people together and say that's for you. And then the young and segregate them according to their growth. But he brought them together and he gave them his doctrine, his speech, and it distilled like the Jew. It fell upon the very forms of spiritual growth in its own blessed way. Saints of God, I appeal to you as a stranger to judge any tendency among you that will segregate the people of God into class, age, or whatever form of distinction to bring about the suggestion that the Word of God is not suited to certain ages. I feel that this is very, very important in this day to see the beauty of these lovely words, and it falls upon all in its perfect evenness. I would suggest if you followed the chapter that you like very much, and you will see that older man going up to sacrifice. He has the younger man with him. And in association, they go up the hill together. And that man of experience with God is going to be able to show the younger Isaac something of the principle that will mark worship. Yielding to God on the very altar of sacrifice. There was no age discrepancy. And it's important that we that are younger accept this without reservation in this modern day that does so much to divide the people of God. And I trust you will learn that wherever you go in the world where this procedure has been developed, it has only wrought havoc in the testimony and divided it throughout. We have seen this in Malaysia. And I do trust you will allow me to speak from experience. Thank God we have been able to preserve what we have sought to develop for God by maintaining these simple principles and acknowledging the suitability of the Word of God for all ages. I'm sure it's not without the simple illustration too of the sheep and the lambs together. The shepherd always puts them in with the older of the flock. You never see them divided except for slaughter. And I do trust you will realize that when we divide the people of God, it can often prove to their spiritual dismay, disappointment, and despair. Yesterday, our brother mentioned the value of Gideon's exercise, and I want to refer to it again from this lovely chapter. In relation to what our brother gave us already, surely, young Christian and older friend, there is nothing we would desire more than a sense of the power of the refreshing Holy Spirit upon us. That's exactly what was happening in the heart of Gideon. Gideon has been appointed. Gideon has been indicated that he has a service to perform. And we said yesterday how he set about in the privacy of his heart, of the solitude of his experience, to work it out with God. At great expense, likely exposing his life to the danger, he secured wheat from the enemy, under the very nose of the enemy. Took it to that secret place and threshed it in the privacy of his own experience. The eye of God was upon it. God sees every endeavor of your personal exercise. Remember that. If you do it before God, God will see exactly what you're doing. Leave that with Him. Leave that with Him. The instrument is being prepared, but the instrument has to be tested. You heard our brother say, go home. Well, that's exactly what God said to Gideon. Go home. And at home there was a test that he felt was likely insurmountable. It was a difficult test. But he had to be proved in the place where he is best known. I would agree with our brother, go home. But I would ask, stay home until those who know you best acknowledge what you are for God. And from there, move in fellowship, move in happy association with those that know you best. I feel that's very important, because when he blows the trumpet, the first to rally to his standard are the men of his own home. The men of his own home. And so he is emerging from the test approved, not only by God, but by those who knew him best. I'm glad that when I touch this point, I can tell you that I went home and that I stayed at home until those brethren that knew me best publicly acknowledged my fitness, my spiritual exercise to go forth in the service of God. My dear brethren, that is important. And Gideon is moving with this consciousness as he looks at the task that's ahead. But this man of exercise, he wants now to have further divine approval. And he asks God that if he put the fleece on the floor, you know, that was the threshing floor. That was a familiar area of his private industry with the eye of God upon it. You don't think of God today in this meeting. However young you may be, there is nothing equal to being able to go back and to be able to touch soul history with God. I hope you've got that. Ask yourself today, what is your soul experience of God in private? And if you have that, you can always come back to God to a point where you've proved him. And he's there to meet you at that very place. I often say about David, when he was thrust upon with that armor of Saul, he said, I haven't proved it. I would feel totally unfitted to wield the instruments that were characteristic of this man, Saul. But he said, before that, I faced a bear, and I faced a lion, and God delivered me out of the paw of the lion and of the bear. And while I may not approve the mechanics of this ammunition, I can rest undefeatably upon my experience with God in the private, when no eye was upon me but the eye of God. And brethren, what I'm trying to do is this, is to try and illustrate what it really means for your life and my life to be wet with the dew of heaven. That's what this man asked. Lord, put the dew on the fleece. That's the coat of the animal. That's the character of the being. And brethren, isn't this the vital issue? The great preparation for service is the development of character formed by the Spirit of God and graced by his presence right from the inner being out into the manifest life we live day by day. And God graciously acknowledged the man's cry. And that night, the earth was dry, but the fleece was wet. And what did he do? He took it out and he squeezed it into a bowl, likely to use it for abuse it would be. The next night, he said, Lord, I want to see the effect of this on the land around now, and to fleece the dry. Mind you, brethren, the first bit is easy. I say it reverently, and I say it lovingly, and I wish my throat was easier to give it the thrust I want. But mind you, brethren, it's easy to have. I'm speaking of experience to get before God and allow Him to wet you with the dew of heaven. But it's another thing to ask Him, Lord, bring me into an experience where I'm dry, that the earth around may be wet. What do we know of that? What do we know of that? I believe this will condition us for the service of God that has been so much before us in the ministry today and of the days that are past. Remember, and I'm sure my brother, Mr. Sinker, my good friend, will not disagree that if I tread another path, for he warned us against doing something strange with this, I thank God for Gideon's desire. For one day there stood on Jordan's bank the Lamb of God. And the Spirit of God descended and abode upon him. I think that is Gideon's first request seen in the Lord Jesus. But all around was dry. There was one able to sustain the fullness of the Spirit of God in his being. That's John 1. Come to the end of John. I thirst. Life. Suffering. The Lamb of God on the cross. That all around may be wet with the dew. Before John puts down his pen, he has the Lord saying, receive ye, receive ye, Holy Spirit. Young men, there's a price to be paid. That's what our brother stressed wisely. And I feel that the Spirit of God is able not only to bathe you in His fullness, but He's able to take you into circumstances that causes you to feel the price and the pain that others may be blessed. My time is gone. I trust what is left unsaid will have a voice as you read it and see the dealings of the Jew in Daniel 4. Shall we pray? Our God, we look to Thee for this time of conference. Thou hast brought us together in the fear of God. In the fear of God we lead. We pray that Thou wilt speak to every heart, that that fruit of which we have heard will be manifestly expressed in every life. For we realize the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. That indeed as we serve thee, that indeed as we rise to respond to the need that is everywhere, we might indeed be wet with the dew of heaven, empowered by an ungrieved Holy Spirit, equipped to serve in ways glorifying to thee, and energized, blessed God, not even by our own intellectual ability, but by the mighty wisdom of the Spirit of God, unlimited, unrestricted. Visit thy people, we pray today. Come near to every heart. Cause deep exercise